the purpose and power of the Holy Spirit. Look at Luke chapter 11. Look at verse number 11. Jesus is teaching on prayer. Luke 11, verse 11. Jesus said this, "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion?" Wouldn't that be mean? That'd be awful. "Dad, I'm hungry. Can I have an egg?" And he gives you a scorpion. Or you ask for a fish and he gives you a snake. I hate snakes. That'd be the worst thing somebody could do for me. I'm hungry. I don't even really like fish. But if I asked for fish, here's a snake. That'd be awful. Look at verse 13. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give..." I'll stop there for just a minute. It would make sense for him to say, "How much more shall the heavenly Father give good gifts unto you?" Right? I mean, we're talking about food. We're talking about prayer. And he says, if you ask for an egg, what father would give a scorpion? If you ask for a fish, what father would give a snake? If you ask for a piece of bread, what father would give a stone? He said, if you being evil, you're going to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall the Heavenly Father give, well, let's continue that. How much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? This is not just about answering prayer. In this case, it's about answering a specific prayer. I want to preach to you this evening about the power of the Holy Spirit. People use different words to describe it. Sometimes it's called the filling of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But what I want you to understand, it's I believe, and I'll do my best to help you understand tonight, it is something beyond and in addition to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give it to you now, then I'm going to preach the message to you. When you got saved, you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit moved in to live. But God wants to give you His power. He wants to baptize you with His Spirit. I'm not talking charismatic, and I'm not talking about you've got to do something else once you get saved to really seal your salvation. There are people that teach that. You got to speak in tongues or roll on the floor or jump over chairs or whatever it is. That's not what we're talking about. I'm talking about an endowment and a filling. Filling may not even be the right word, but sometimes some people use that. A baptism with the Holy Spirit that prepares you and enables you to serve God in a way better and more powerfully than you ever have before. So that's what the message is about this evening. So go to John chapter 20 and verse 19. Now the message tonight is going to be a whole lot more scripture and some comments in between the scripture, all right? So there's going to be a lot of Bible reading tonight. Get your Bibles out. You're going to use them tonight. And I want you to see this, and I'm trying to build this logically. I don't know if I've done it as good as I'd like to do that, but do your best to follow along, and a bit chronologically as well. So let's see if we can do it. John chapter 20, verse 19. Here's my opening statement. The disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit after Jesus rose again, but before the day of Pentecost. All right, so this is a lot to chew on just right here from the beginning. The disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit after Jesus rose again, but before the day of Pentecost. So many times we have the idea that they were filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. What I want you to understand this evening is that that was something different. And I'm going to hope to prove that to you and show it to you in the Bible, because I want you to understand that God has got something for you, His Spirit that He wants to pour upon you, that He wants you to use to reach His world with the gospel, to serve Him in a powerful way beyond what you can imagine. John chapter 20, verse 19. This is before the day of Pentecost, but it is after Jesus had risen again. John chapter 20, verse number 19. John 20, verse number 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, this is the same day Jesus rose again, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, so even so send I you." Now look at this next verse. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." At this point, the disciples receive the Holy Ghost. You could say that this was the first time people were filled with the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Spirit is able to happen now. Jesus has risen again, and he breathes on them and says, receive the Spirit. It kind of reminds me of the creation account. The Bible says that God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Except in this case, Jesus is speaking to men who are alive, his followers, and he breathes on them, and he says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. All right, so here they are. The resurrection has just happened. It was the same day. And here is the filling or the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised the power of the Holy Spirit to the disciples then after that, before he ascended. All right, so I want you to now go to Acts chapter 1. Here's Jesus. He's risen again. He's met there. That's the time that Thomas missed. Remember? He didn't see his hands. He didn't see his side. He didn't see his feet. And then later he said, if I could put my fingers in his hands, I can thrust my hand into his side, then I will believe. That's the meeting that Thomas missed. What a terrible meeting to miss. The disciples are filled with the Holy Spirit. We have the indwelling of the Spirit happening there. Acts chapter 1, Jesus has already given the Holy Spirit. That was in John chapter 20. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit has already begun. But there was something more that Jesus wanted the disciples to receive. So look at Acts chapter 1, verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now look at verse 4. We start the narrative. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. He's already said, he's breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. They've received the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God, I believe, is in them at this point. But now Jesus is saying, wait for the promise of the Father. There's something more that I have for you. Wait for the promise of the Father, which you have heard of me. I told you about this, John chapter 14, 15, John chapter 16. I've been telling you about the Holy Spirit. He is going to come, and he's going to come upon you. Look at chapter 1, verse 5. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. And again, I'm not talking a charismatic or Pentecostal type of thing. And I think a lot of times as Baptists, we're scared to say anything about the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit because the Pentecostals kind of have a corner on that market. We don't want anybody else thinking that we are charismatic or Pentecostal. So we kind of stay away from this whole thing. But Jesus said to them, he had already filled them with his Spirit. And he said to them, I want you to go back to Jerusalem and I want you to wait because in not very many days, you will be baptized with the Holy Ghost. They'd already received the Holy Spirit, but they had not yet been baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit was within them, but not yet upon them. Might be a good way to remember what's going on. They were saved. They were indwelt by the Spirit of God, but not yet baptized with his power to accomplish the work of reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'll just do a timeout here just for a moment, and I'll say this. I think this is where most Christians spend our lives. We've been saved. You're indwelt with the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. But for most Christians, there's never a point where you are, as the Bible says, baptized with the Spirit of God, and you receive this gift of God, the Spirit of God, because maybe it's because we don't desire it. We don't ask for it. As Jesus said, if you would ask your Father of the Holy Spirit, why wouldn't he give that to you? Why do we go years and years and years without seeing anybody saved? Why is there not revival in our country like we've seen in the past? What's happening? What is different? Well, it may just be that we're very much like these disciples were. We've been saved. We've got the Holy Spirit in us. He dwells within us, but we've not experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe this, all Christians, the Bible teaches very clearly, have the Holy Spirit in them. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, you know this verse. The Bible says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? If you are saved, the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. We use those two words interchangeably. God lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. He says, "What know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" God lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. But what I want you to get from this, and I'm not going to be able to do as good of a job explaining this as I'd like to do, but I see it here. I know it's a truth. I've seen it in the lives of men. I've read about it so many times through biographies of men. There is something more that God wants to pour upon you as He pours His Spirit upon you so that you can do something great for Him. All Christians have the Holy Spirit in them. God wants to pour His Spirit upon you. Let me tell you what just a couple preachers of the past have said. R.A. Torrey said this: "The baptism of the Holy Spirit is an operation of the Holy Spirit distinct from and subsequent and additional to His regenerating work. Every true believer has the Holy Spirit, but not every believer has the baptism with the Holy Spirit. The baptism with the Holy Spirit is an experience connected with and primarily for the purpose of service." This is still R.A. Torrey, and this is what he said about this. "The baptism of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God coming upon the believer, imparting to him gifts not otherwise his, but which qualify him for the service for which God has called him." He says this: "The baptism with the Holy Spirit was not merely for the apostles, nor merely for those of the apostolic age, but for all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. It is for every believer in every age of the church history. If any believer in any age does not have the baptism with the Holy Spirit, it is solely because he does not claim his privilege in Christ." And we go back to Luke chapter 11 and verse number 13. "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" You've heard of D.L. Moody. This is what he said about it. "In some sense and to some extent, the Holy Spirit dwells with every believer. But there's another gift which may be called the gift of the Holy Spirit for service. This gift, it strikes me, is entirely distinct and separate from conversion." D.L. Moody said this: "I've lived long enough to know that if I cannot have the power of the Spirit of God on me to help me work for Him, I would rather die than live just for the sake of living." He's telling the story of when this happened in his life, and he says this: "I was crying all the time that God would fill me with His Spirit." I remember hearing this about D.L. Moody, that he would preach, and two little old ladies would come up to him after the services and said, "We're praying for you, Mr. Moody. We're praying for you, Mr. Moody. We're praying for you to be baptized with the Spirit of God." And he would have converts down the aisle, and people would be saved, and he would respond something like, "Well, why are you praying for me? Why do I need your prayer? God is working here." But listen, as he continues, "I was crying all the time that God would fill me with the Spirit. Well, one day in the city of New York, oh, what a day, I cannot describe it. I seldom refer to it. It is almost too sacred an experience to name. I can only say that God revealed Himself to me. I went to preaching again. The sermons were not different. I did not present any new truths, and yet hundreds were converted. I would not now be placed back where I was before that blessed experience. If you should give me all the world, it would be as a small dust of the balance." He talks about this baptism of the Holy Spirit. R.A. Torrey said this about D.L. Moody: "The secret of why God used D.L. Moody was that he had a very definite endowment with the power from on high, a very clear and definite baptism with the Holy Ghost." What I want to challenge you about this evening, and as we've kind of spent today talking about the Holy Spirit, I want to challenge you that God has His Spirit that He wants to put upon you, and He wants to pour His Spirit upon you, and He wants you to be able to serve Him in a way greater than you've ever imagined. Would you go to Numbers chapter 11 with me? I want to give you this illustration from the Old Testament. The children of Israel, when you think of the children of Israel, does the word complaining and murmuring come to mind? That's what I think of. We were talking about it yesterday at our house, and that's exactly what I think of. You've got Moses, and he's trying to lead this rebellious group of people out of the wilderness, or through the wilderness, and he's stuck there. God's the one that sent him to be the leader, and at times he didn't want to be the leader, and at times he saved God from destroying Israel, but he's their leader. They're in the wilderness, and then he's trying to judge these people. He's trying to help these people. He's trying to teach these people. They're complaining, and they're saying, "Why are you the leader? What gives you the right to tell us what to do? Why should we listen to you?" And in Numbers chapter 11, verse 16, God's going to take care of him. And the Lord said, Numbers 11:16, and the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. Do you remember what the tabernacle of congregation was? It's an awesome study. I love it. It was a place that was set away from the rest of the camp, and Moses would go there, and he would spend time with God at the tabernacle of the congregation. You may remember this. He would go into the tabernacle of the congregation, and the cloud would come down, and the glory of God would be in there, and Moses would come out, and his face was glowing. If you remember, it was shining. And the people said, cover your face. We can't bear it. Can you imagine somebody's face shining so much that you can't even look at it because it's too bright? It makes you squint. It's like looking at the sun. Because Moses had spent time with God at the tabernacle of the congregation. And God said, take 70 men, bring them to the tabernacle of the congregation. That was in verse number 16. Now, verse 17 says this, and I will come down and talk with thee there. And get this, I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee and will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. There's a little bit more that happens until verse 24. Skip down to verse 24. For the sake of time, I want to just continue with the story. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto him and took of the Spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. Can you picture this happening? Moses gathers these 70 men. And he says, come here, God wants you to come. You are in trouble. Come with me. We're going to the tabernacle, the woodshed, right? Come to the tabernacle, the congregation. And God comes and speaks to them. And in a way I can't describe, I can't even imagine, except I can just read what it says. God said he took some of the Spirit that was upon Moses and put it upon the other men. This Spirit of God. Look at verse 26. Turns out Moses missed two guys. 68 of them were there. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, and the name of the other, Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them. All right, so you got these 70 men. We thought there were 70 men here. Maybe he did a head count, and Joshua and Moses were there too. So maybe that's how he messed up his head count. I'm not exactly sure how it happened. There's 70 men plus, well, 68 plus Moses and Joshua. Did I say Joseph? I meant to say Joshua here. Just a second. Go. And they're in the tabernacle of the congregation. There's these two other men. Their name was on the list to go to the tabernacle of the congregation. They're these leaders, but they didn't go. And when God came down and took his Spirit, from the Spirit that was upon Moses and put it also upon these other men, the Spirit of God came upon these two men that weren't over there in the tabernacle of the congregation. Everybody in the tabernacle, have you ever read this story before? This is a new story for you. So everybody in the tabernacle of the congregation, the Spirit of God comes upon them, and the Bible says they began prophesying. They're all preaching. They're all saying the words that God's giving them. I would love to see that. What are they saying? Who are they saying it to? These are questions that I have that I don't have answers to. And so here they are. They're all prophesying. But back here in the camp, Medad and Edad, I think I said that right, they're over here, and the Spirit of God has come upon them. And what do? They're prophesying. They're preaching too. Again, I don't know what they said, and I don't know who they were saying it to, but here they are. The Spirit of God came upon them, and here they are prophesying. Somebody hears about that. Verse number 27, and there ran a young man and told Moses, and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, my Lord Moses, forbid them. They're prophesying in the camp. They didn't come with the rest of us. Tell them not to prophesy over there. Don't tell them not to do it. Forbid them. Moses' response is amazing. I'll get to that in just a second. But when God's Spirit came upon them, they prophesied. This is an illustration, and I understand there's a difference in Old Testament, New Testament, and the Spirit of God coming upon people, and I understand that. As a way of illustration, though, I want you to understand, the Spirit of God comes upon these people. They prophesy. The Spirit of God comes upon the two people left in the camp, and they prophesy. They're preaching. Everyone that the Spirit of God came upon, in this case, prophesied. God gave his Spirit to some of the men in a special way to serve him, and this is what's happening. When Joshua wanted Moses to rebuke the two men who prophesied away from the rest of the group, here's what Moses said. Look at verse number 29. And Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. Here's Joshua saying, tell them to stop. And Moses is saying, no, I want more people. Wouldn't it be wonderful if everybody, all of God's people, had God's spirit upon them, and all of God's people would serve him, and all of God's people would prophesy. Well, now I believe that can happen. Jesus has ascended into heaven. The Spirit of God has been poured out. Now God's Spirit can come upon all God's people, and all of us can prophesy or preach the gospel to every creature. I got some more verses I want to show you, so don't bail out on me yet. Go to Acts chapter 1, look at verse number 6. We were just there just a minute ago. Jesus is up on the mountain there. He's getting ready to ascend up into heaven, and he's told them to wait in Jerusalem because there's something else I want to give you, the Spirit. I'm going to pour this upon you. The exact words he said. Ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. That was in verse number 5. Now in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, when they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. Now picture this, they're here, they're there at the Mount of Olives. They don't know what's about to happen. We know that Jesus is getting ready to ascend up into heaven. They don't know that. They're just listening to him again. They didn't know that he's only going to be here for 40 days and go back up. They're listening to him. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about baptizing with the Holy Spirit. And they say, so are you setting up your kingdom now? Is it time now? He says, it's not for you to know the times. And then, verse number 8. You know verse number 8? You may have memorized verse number 8. Jesus says this to his disciples, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received them out of their sight. He said, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit not many days hence. And then these next couple of verses, ye shall receive power. There's a power that God has that he wants to give to a person. These are men who are already filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember in John chapter 20, he breathed in them and he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. These are people who are already saved. There's already the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But he says, stay in Jerusalem because the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you and ye shall be witnesses. Now we may not have time to develop this as much as I want to, so I'm going to say it now. The power of the Holy Spirit and ye shall be witnesses goes together. The reason for the power of the Holy Spirit is so that we can reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The power of the Holy Spirit is not so that a person can receive the power of the Holy Spirit and use it for themselves. In fact, I don't have time to turn there, but there was a man, I believe it was Peter there, and a man came up to you and said, give me this Holy Spirit, I'll buy the Holy Spirit from you. He saw the power that the disciples had. He said, I'll buy this Holy Spirit. I'll buy it from you. Peter rebuked him because he wanted to use the power of the Holy Spirit for himself. God has a power for his people, for reaching this world with the gospel and for serving him. And it's not supposed to be used for us. It's supposed to be used to, as we would say in this passage, complete the Great Commission. The baptism of the Holy Spirit then happened at the day of Pentecost. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Jesus said, stay in Jerusalem. They were there. They had stayed there. They obeyed. And then suddenly, this is 10 days later, 10 days after Jesus ascended, verse number 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire and sat, what's the next word? Upon each of them. Here they are. They're in this upper room. It's the day of Pentecost, and these tongues of fire sit upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, This is verse 14. I'm sorry, I did that because I wanted to save some time here. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. They begin preaching, and that the passage we skipped talks about all the different languages that people are hearing the message of the gospel preached in. They're mocking them. And verse number 14 now, Acts 2:14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "You men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." And here's what the prophet Joel said. Acts chapter 2, now verse number 17. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." You can continue on with the message that Peter preaches. The purpose of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to reach the world with the gospel. If you look at this, I read through this kind of quickly, so I want you to see it. Verse number 17, Peter said this. He's quoting the book of Joel. It's the same words that are in the book of Joel. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh." This is what's happening. Peter's describing what the people are seeing. Just earlier that day, it doesn't say how much time has passed between this time where the fire came in the upper room and when they went out and started preaching. But just earlier that day, the power of the Holy Spirit has been poured upon them. The baptism of the Spirit happens. And then they go out and they begin preaching. And as they're preaching, people begin to get saved. It's beyond the power of the disciples. It's not something that they've worked up. It's not some trick that they figured out. It's not some great program that they figured out. It's just that the power of God is working through them. Go back to the part that we skipped. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 7. The Holy Spirit has been poured out upon them. The power from on high has come upon them. We use different words to say it. We sometimes say this is when they were filled with the Holy Ghost. So this is when they were baptized with the Holy Ghost. Maybe you can use those words interchangeably. I believe that those two you can. And here they are. They've got God's power upon them that they've never experienced before. In Acts chapter 2, verse 7, "And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and in Judea and in Cappadocia, in Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and the parts of Libya, about Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians." Now look, all these people are hearing a message being preached, but what message are they hearing? The power of God has come upon the apostles, and now they are preaching. And what message is it that they're preaching? Verse number 11 finishes with this. "We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." Verse 12, "And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? And they begin mocking, saying that they're full of new wine." Peter preaches his message, and verse 41 happens. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 41. "Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls." What happened? The Spirit of God came upon them mightily. God poured His Spirit out upon them. The baptism of the Spirit happened. And they go out and they begin to preach. And people got saved. Thousands of people got saved. This is something beyond what they could do. These men were from Galilee. In fact, in another place, the Bible says they were unlearned and ignorant men. They're independent Baptists. All right, they were unlearned, they were ignorant men, they were out there preaching in the only language that they knew, but God took it and God spread it out and put it into all these different languages, and people heard it in their own language, and they got saved. And it goes back to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth." Simple challenge this evening. Simple challenge. I challenge you to ask God to come upon you. For God to baptize you with His Spirit. The words you use to fill you with His Spirit. If a father is going to give a gift to his son, and we're evil people, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Could you imagine? And I can't, but could you imagine what God could do through you if you would say, you know what? I want that power of the Holy Spirit on my life. I want God to work in my life. I'm willing to obey the disciples. They had to stay in Jerusalem. It wasn't even home. Jesus said, stay in Jerusalem until the power of God comes upon you. And here they are in this upper room staying in Jerusalem thinking, I'd rather be in Galilee. That's where I'm from, but here I am stuck here. And then the power of God comes upon them and God uses them in a greater way than they've ever imagined. I challenge you. And I don't know if I should use the word beg. I don't know if I should use the word pray, ask. The Bible talks about importunity in that same passage. Just keep asking. God, would you use me in a great way? Jesus, would you baptize me with your Spirit? Would you fill me with your Spirit so that I can be used of you in a greater way than I could ever be used on my own? Father, I don't know exactly how to end this, but I feel that I think we got it. Lord, I pray that you would do a work in the hearts of our people. Lord, I pray that you do a work in my heart. Lord, I believe for the most part the people here tonight are saved. Many of have been saved for years and years and years. Lord, and because of that, your Holy Spirit lives in us, and you are in us, and you guide us, direct us. We have the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and all that because you are in us. But Lord, I am asking that you would fill us with your power. Lord, I'm asking you that you would baptize us with your Spirit in a way that we could serve you in a greater way, in a way that we could reach so many more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ.